Okay, so as you guys know, we're getting close to our missionary, like March. Typically, we focus on missions and different things, and Trent and Emily were able to come early the end of this month. I think the end of next month, we're going to have Alan Matamoros. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be focusing on missions and our missionaries. So we appreciate you guys coming. So as you know, we've been in Galatians, and I tried to shorten my sermon. We'll see what happens, because I knew they were going to talk. But the one thing that we've been talking about lately is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in our lives, our need and privilege for the Spirit, and also the reality in which we live, that the struggle between the flesh and the Spirit is a very real thing, as it says in Galatians 5:17. So we ended last week briefly looking at Galatians 5:24-26. And so I wanted to take a little bit of time and use these verses to bring out some principles that I'd like to look at this morning. So let's read together Galatians 5:24-26. It says, "Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another." And so there's a little phrase in there, "let us also walk by the Spirit." And that word, "walk by the Spirit," there is actually means to keep in step with the Spirit. And so the title of the sermon this morning, "Keeping in Step with the Spirit," is ultimately going to be our focus. And so as I said, there's three principles that I would like to bring out in regards to keeping in step with the Spirit. And I think it's things that we've been talking about. I just thought of a good way to try to bring them together and put them together as we go through our lives, something very practical that we can remember. And so the first of these principles is see your provision. And when I say that, see your provision, understand what God has given you. And I'll explain more, of course. The next is recognizing your constant need. Recognizing your constant need as a believer. And the last is appropriate what is already yours. So see and recognize your need, appropriate what is yours. So let me illustrate it this way. When Carla and I first got married, my first main job was, I got a job working for a logging company in Baker City, Oregon. And so one of the things that I did at the logging company, and I was excited about this opportunity because my dad was a logger up in North Idaho. My grandpa was, all that, my great grandpa, you know, it's kind of one of those things like, hey, being a logger working in the woods was something that I always thought, I loved hearing the stories. So I thought, okay, finally it's my time, right? And so I got the job called a knot bumper. I don't know if you guys know what a knot bumper is, but a knot bumper is basically someone who cuts all the limbs off the trees and then they cut them to length. And so that was my job. And what I needed, the minimum of what I needed to do too well at this job was I needed a chainsaw, I needed a file, in case my chain got dull on my chainsaw, I needed a tape measure to measure out the length of the log so I could cut it off. I needed fuel for my saw, and I needed boots that had spikes in them so I could actually stay in the log. I tried tennis shoes for a while, but I kept falling off the log. So to do my job well, my boss had to provide these things for me. So in regards to seeing my provision, what I needed was given to me by my boss. And as I thought about this, I thought about what if my boss wanted me to be a good knot bumper and not give me a chainsaw? Like, that wouldn't work out very well, right? Because you need the chainsaw. What if he forgot the fuel? You know, these different things. What if he never brought a file? Then when my chain got dull, I wouldn't be able to sharpen it. And so all these things, as we recognize our need there, that the provision, we need the provision to do the job that was intended to do. The other thing is recognize our constant need. I must be aware when my chain gets dull, then I go to my file. I have my file to sharpen it. The other thing is when I need to measure a log, I don't have to use my chainsaw 50 times to measure it. I take my tape measure and measure it. So when the need arises for me to measure, I have what I need. It's provided for me. And then lastly, and again, these are all simple things. Maybe you're already connecting the dots here. But lastly, appropriate what is already yours. Appropriate what is already yours in this illustration. So by definition, the word appropriate means to put to use something that I already possess. To put to use something I already possess or that's already available to me. So in this case here, I had everything I needed. I recognized my need. So when my chain got dull, I would appropriate my file. I'd grab my file and sharpen my chain. When I ran out of fuel, I would put fuel in the saw. Now let me ask you this. If I have everything I need given to me by my boss, and then I run into an issue, and I just determine not to sharpen my chain, what's going to happen? I'm not going to be able to do my job, right? And so this very simple point of, as we get through this and as I work through these verses, keeping these things in mind. I have no excuse in regards to doing my job well if what is provided, if everything I need is provided for me. Does that make sense? I have no excuse to do my job well if my boss provided what I needed. All I need to do is appropriate those things that I already own, that I already possess, in order to do my job. And so as we think through this, over time, I developed into a decent knot bumper. Okay, not great, and hopefully one of my buddies isn't listening today because he will tell me that I wasn't great. But what I want to do is illustrate this as I began to put these principles into practice, as I began to use what I had in front of me, as I appropriated the tools I had in order to do my job, I improved in my skill. I improved in my ability to do the job. And so regarding these verses specifically in verse 24, I want to break it down the same way, that we see our provision as believers in Christ, that we see what's been provided to us. In verse 24, it says, "Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." So our provision here, just as my boss gave me all I needed to be a good knot bumper, God has given us all we need to live righteous by faith through the Spirit. And again, these are things we've been talking about. All I need to live righteous by faith through the Spirit. From verse 24, it says right away, we belong to Christ Jesus. Now, when you think about the provision is you and I, we belong to Christ Jesus. This is an incredible thought in and of itself. As we've been going through the book of Galatians, we have seen that our standing before God as righteous is through Christ. That we are justified. We are declared righteous by God through Christ. And that's something that is our provision. That's been provided to us through the person of Jesus Christ. Our inheritance as sons and daughters of God is a provision given to us by God. That's who we are. That's how God sees us. We're his sons and his daughters. It's our inheritance. And someday we will be with him in heaven. That's when we think of inheritance. That we're children of the promise given to Abraham. So we're the child of promise, a child of faith, that as we put our faith in Christ. And then we've been given the gift of the Spirit, which is what we've been talking about the last few weeks, the gift of the Spirit. And again, these aren't all of our provisions from the book of Galatians, but these are some of them. But we also know that we have the Word of God. We have other believers, right? We have all these things. We are blessed for sure in regards to our provision in Christ, what we have. Ephesians 3:1, it says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with a few nice things in the heavenly places." No, blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And so when we think of the provision that God has given us, here we see in Ephesians, we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And then in regards to our flesh, as the verse goes on, your flesh is crucified. We are redeemed from the curse of the law. This is what this is referring to. We have freedom from the condemnation of sin and the law because we died with Christ, right? Spiritually, when Christ died at the point of my salvation, I died spiritually with him. I'm no longer condemned by God. I'm no longer condemned by the law because Christ took my condemnation. And so when we think of this, a freedom from condemnation of sin and the law, freedom from our flesh, right? And this is the main thing we've been talking about lately. We are free to not give in to our flesh, to not live for our flesh, even though we realize there's a war going on between the flesh and the spirit. So we're free from this. We are free to live a godly life. I can choose now, because of Christ, to live a godly life. I can choose to walk in the Spirit. I can choose to walk by faith, where before I had one option, and that was to live for my flesh. So regarding this provision, 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4, and I've read this verse several times, it says, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Everything we need for life and godliness has been provided to us. That provision is there. And it says, through our knowledge of him who called us by his glory and excellence. And then verse 4, for by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. Again, provision, his precious and magnificent promises. And then here, look at this. So that by them you may do what? Be partakers of the divine nature. So these promises, these precious promises, by them we can be partakers of the divine nature. And how are we partakers of the divine nature? Through the Spirit of God living inside of us. And so as we see these things, it's incredible provision. The verse goes on, it says, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, because of the Spirit of God, because of these promises, because of what he has provided for me, I can escape the world. I can escape living for the flesh. I can escape doing my own thing. And so again, these things that we have are extremely important, that we recognize as believers our provision, not just in the Spirit, but that's what we've been talking about, but this incredible provision that God has given us as believers. So the next thing is recognize your constant need. The next point here. And so in verse 25, it says, if we live by the Spirit, just that little phrase, the word live by the Spirit there, it means to be made alive by the Spirit, or since we've been made alive by the Spirit. But he's asking a question. If you live by the Spirit, right, as the verse goes on, if you live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So if you're made alive by the Spirit, it only makes sense that you then walk by the Spirit. So recognizing our constant need, going back to my logging story, like I said, when my chain was dull, I realized I was in need to sharpen it. When I needed to cut a log to a certain length, I had my tape measure. So in our context here, if you and I want to live out our Christian life, that Christ has made us alive to, then we do that by the Spirit. So we've been made alive through the Spirit. Why would we not want to live by the Spirit as well? So, and again, we've been talking about the contrast of the flesh. So we live by the Spirit. We've been made alive to the Spirit. Our need is to live by the Spirit, not the flesh. Not the flesh. We are keenly aware that our flesh is not the answer to our needs in life. As we face difficulties, as we face trials, as we face temptations, our flesh is simply not the answer. And that's what we've been studying. Our flesh is simply not the answer. The law and circumcision, as the Judaizers were saying, is not the answer. And why is that? Because it's done in the flesh. It's not done through the Spirit. Also here, we saw the eventual results of a life lived in the flesh through the deeds of the flesh in verses 19 through 21 of chapter 5. And that was contrasted with the wonderful life lived in the Spirit in 5:22 and 23. And so we all know the conflict here between the Spirit and the flesh is very real. And so as I was thinking about this verse in Romans and recognizing our need is something that I'd like to look at here. Romans 8, 5 through 7. Because it kind of points us to what we've been talking about. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, in reference here, set their minds on things of the Spirit. For the mindset on the flesh is death. The mindset on the flesh is death. But the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile to God or towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And it's very similar to what we were talking about, the flesh and the Spirit at war with each other. The mindset on the flesh is death. The mindset on the flesh is not going to get me anywhere. The mindset on the flesh is my commander, is my leader in life, is like we talked about last week, is a bad choice for me as a believer. But the mindset on the Spirit, on the alternate, is life and peace. So again, I have all this incredible provision. I'm going to face needs in my life. And the answer to my needs over and over again is the Spirit by faith, not the flesh. So clearly that's something that we understand already, and we've been talking about as we've been studying Galatians. Now, I believe though, however, that this is what one of the things Paul was trying to get the Galatians to understand is the law is about the flesh. Circumcision is about the flesh. Focus on the Spirit. Right? You've been made alive by the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. So now let's take a look at the last principle I was talking about. Appropriate what is already yours. So we've been given this incredible provision, all that God has given us as believers. We clearly see our need as things come into our life. Like, it's not hard to recognize we need God. It's not hard to recognize in 2 hours that my flesh is easily going to want to do its own thing, say its own thing, whatever. So as we've been talking about, we clearly see our need for the Spirit in our lives and for God's guidance. Now, with the utmost confidence, because of what we have, because of our, in a sense, the privileges, our possessions of what God has given us, we can, by faith, appropriate and put to use what we've been given. Right? We can appropriate what we've been given. So going back to the story, if I had everything provided for my logging here, if I recognize my constant need for the things I have, and then in regards to my job here, if something came up during my job, my chain gets dull, like I said, or I ran out of fuel for my saw, then as I was saying before, I have a decision to make. Am I going to appropriate what was already mine, what was given to me in order to do my job? And this is the same as a believer, right? The same as a believer, for me as a believer. As things come up throughout my day, am I going to appropriate and put to use all that God has given me? Am I going to appropriate and put to use all that God has given me? And when I say all that God has given me, it's already mine. It's available for me to say, Lord, I am not going to give into my flesh. I'm going to take and trust the Spirit of God by faith to produce in me or to guide me or to give me wisdom, whatever it might be, to do what is right in front of me. And this is, I've said this a couple of weeks now, we are 100% responsible for the daily conduct of our Christian lives. And we are because we've been provided with everything we need to live it. Right? We're 100% responsible for the daily conduct of our Christian lives, but we are 100% dependent on the Spirit's power and leading to do so. And so that clears my picture. Like, okay, God, I've been given these things. I've been provided for. I face a need, but then what am I going to do about it? It's my choice. It's my determination, in a sense. Am I going to act as I should and appropriate the things that God has given me? Am I going to believe in what God has said regarding his promises and stand on his promises? Am I going to go to his Spirit in times of my need and say, God, please help me. Extend grace to me as I know you said you would. And so as we go on here in verse 25 and 26, it says, if we live by the Spirit, like I already said, if we've been made alive by the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another or envying one another. So from chapter 5, we see this. We're to walk by the Spirit, as it said prior in 5:16. We're to be led by the Spirit, and we're made alive by the Spirit. And now it's with these three very logical things. Since I walk by the Spirit, since I'm led by the Spirit, and since I've been made alive by the Spirit, very logically, with boldness, I should keep in step with the Spirit. And that's what this phrase here, walk in the Spirit. I should keep in step with the Spirit because I've been provided what I need to keep in step with the Spirit. And so this term here, this phrase, walk by the Spirit or keep in step with the Spirit, as I was saying, it's a different word than the walk by the Spirit in verse 16. And the verb tense is a continuous. So continue or constantly keep in step with the Spirit. So it is a term that can be used by a military commander, which fits into what we talked about last week as between the battle between the flesh and the Spirit. And which commander do we want to lead us? Remember, we talked about that. Do we want the flesh to lead us or the Spirit to lead us as our commander? So as we discussed, and as Paul has clearly laid out from the Galatians, or for the Galatian churches, the Spirit clearly is the one that should lead in how we live our lives because of this struggle between the flesh and the Spirit in Galatians 5:17. So we are to continually keep in step with our commander. We are continually to keep in step with our commander, the Spirit of God in us. He is the authority of our lives. He is the one we are to look to. He is the one we are to obey. He is the one that I need to submit my will to in my life. And guys, again, it's not our flesh. But we know with that struggle, it is so tempting. It's so appealing at times to just give in to our flesh, isn't it? But we know that that is not the one. We've been provided everything we need to live a godly life. So the conduct and leading of our lives now as believers is through keeping in step with the Spirit. Keeping in step with the Spirit. Keeping in step with the Spirit is the application to our three principles today. You see God's provision through the Spirit. You recognize you recognize your constant need as things come into your life throughout your day. And lastly, you choose to appropriate what is already yours. You choose to appropriate what is already yours. In this context, the Spirit, it's the Spirit of God, which you already possess, which is already in you, which is already and always available to you. And so as we think through this, that is how we keep in step with the Spirit. A recognition of our provision, a awareness of our need before God, and an appropriation of what God has already given us. So if I choose not to appropriate what is already mine, or if you choose not to appropriate what is already yours, the example of me logging, working for my logging buddy here would be that I'm not going to get any better at what I'm doing, right? If my boss has provided me with everything I need and he's given me the tools, if I run into issues to use to appropriate and I just decide to do that, am I going to get any better at at being a not bumper. No, I'm not, right? I'm going to stall out, right? I'm going to be immature. And you can probably see where I'm going with this, right? So you and I, as we think about this, you and I will not be acting in obedience if we're not taking the provision and acting on it. We're not acting in obedience. We're not keeping in step with the Spirit. We're choosing to allow our own flesh to give us the marching orders, in a sense. So you and I must put these principles into practice every day. Hebrews 5:14, it says this, "But solid food is for the mature," and this is a phrase I want you to see here, "who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." Because of practice, because they're putting to use, God's given me provision, I run into an issue in my life, I'm going to appropriate the Spirit of God and what's been given to me as I live my life. That's what's going to produce maturity. And also in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, "All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction," and then this last one here, "for training in righteousness." Again, as I started out, I wasn't great as a knot bumper, but as I continued to put into practice what I had, I grew in the same way in my spiritual life. So we now see Paul give the Galatians a clear application in verse 26 of what it looks like to not appropriate what is already yours, right? They are instead taking the marching orders from their flesh in verse 25 and 26, in verse 26 when it says, "Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another." And then in chapter 6, we'll see next week, you guys are probably happy to hear that, next week, some positive examples of what that looks like. And so come next week. So in closing, my first day on the job, picking up my chainsaw, I was a little scared, I was a little nervous, because I really had never used a chainsaw before. But I saw the provision, I saw what my boss had given me to do the job, I recognized my need when things came up. And when I appropriated what I had, I was able to do my job. And again, in doing this, I improved over time. So remember, the same thing is true in our Christian lives. See your provision. See your provision that God has given you. Understand what He has given you. And we've been studying those things. But see it. Remember it. Ask Him to remind you of all that He's given you. Recognize your constant need when things come up in your life, big or small. Recognize your constant need when things come up in your life. Then appropriate what is already yours. Put to use what is already yours, what you already possess, specifically the Spirit of God in your life. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to grow. You're going to mature. The things that maybe bugged you a year ago aren't as big of a deal now, whatever it is, but you're going to grow. You're going to mature. You'll understand what it means to live a sanctified life as you do these things. You will understand what it means to live righteously by faith through the Spirit. So this takes keeping in step with the Spirit, not marching to your own drumbeat or the flesh or what the flesh orders. It takes effort, but never effort for the sake of earning God's favor or righteousness. It takes time to understand what it looks like daily to practically keep in step with the Spirit. So be patient in this process. Be patient in the process of growth as we go through life, as things come in our day, as things that we have to deal with that overwhelm us. Be patient, but remember your provision. Remember to appropriate what you have. And in your patience, remember it takes time to grow. There's a quote that says it takes 3 years for God to grow a squash, 3 months for God to grow a squash. That's 3 years is too long. It takes 3 months for God to grow a squash, but 100 years to grow an oak. And so it's good for us to remember it takes time. So in conclusion here, I think I'm just going to end here. The worship team is off the hook. I'll pray after. But in conclusion here, keep in step with the Spirit as things come up in your daily life. Appropriate God's provision by faith through the Spirit. And the result of that, the byproduct of that, is you will grow and mature in your walk with the Lord. And so anyways, those few verses I didn't want to lose. I rushed over them last week, so I wanted to touch base with them. But I'm going to pray, and then we'll be dismissed, and then make sure you talk with Trent and Emily out there after. And don't forget about our welcome thing either. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your provision. Just what an incredible provision we have, Lord. It'll take the rest of our lives to study that, to understand that. You have overwhelmingly given to us all that we need to live our Christian lives, Lord. And Lord, as things come up in our lives, I pray that we would not give into the flesh or the world or the devil or whatever it is, Lord, but we would only look to you. We would trust you despite the circumstances, despite the lack of clarity, Lord, but we would trust you to give us the wisdom and guidance that only your Spirit can. We thank you that we can appropriate these truths. We thank you that we can stand with confidence before you as your sons and daughters, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.